Is it working? I think this is working. And yeah, this is how I'm actually going to start off the show, is just questioning whether or not the show is even correctly functioning. But anyway, hey, I'm Christian. And
I'm Christian.
And this is a very Christian podcast. It's actually, this particular episode is sponsored by Stephen Curtis Chapman and DC Talk.
And Bellevue Baptist in Memphis, Tennessee. Actually, I'm afraid they have so much money, I'm afraid they'll sue us for pretending they're endorsing this.
Lifeway Christian Bookstore. And everyone who's ever purchased one of those little fish metal, you know,
they actually made a
donation to this podcast unknowingly. So they're all sponsors as well.
Dude, when we were growing up, that was the thing, was different types of Jesus fish. And what's so funny is they're posting astrological symbols, which a lot of them, a significant amount, would be against without even knowing it. They're like, yes, to the heavens, like pray to the constellation of Pisces.
I want to point out on the show here right now to everybody that I just noticed that you're wearing a Breaking Point shirt. So we're really, this whole episode is, episode 100 here is actually, we're here to advertise for other podcasts, and as well as that long list of Christian artists that I just mentioned before. That's actually, so that, y'all have a good day.
Dude, thanks for tuning in. That is hilarious. I mean, you know, but I just want everyone to know, because me and Christian both grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, that Bellevue Baptist Church, didn't you go there growing up?
Yes, I did. Multiple times a week.
It's a giant, like, complex of a church. It's just ridiculously large and, like, just,
whoa. That's Kamala Harris laughing. Sorry.
Oh, we're going to get to Kamala. And they built three giant crosses to represent, you know, the crucifixion and all that, but it's like right on the edge of the interstate. Like, it's private land technically, but the crosses really lurch over like the city and the cars.
It is a little intimidating, for sure. I mean, you're just like, why?
It just seems like an eyesore. A little gaudy. Yeah. Well, literally gaudy.
It's almost like, but it almost makes you question whether or not it's okay for something like that to exist. Like, are you infringing on someone else's like liberty or something by like forcing them to see this no matter what? It's not, they can't get away from it, you know. It's like, it's not just in your front yard, it's like, hey everyone, you have to see this for like 5 miles. So we're gonna take a commercial break shortly to play a couple of tracks by the Newsboys and Jars of Clay, if anybody is just wanting to stick around and
we just want to hang out and hope we get to talking about something interesting eventually.
Yeah. So I just want to, if anybody wants to know where we've been, we both had a lot going on, or at least
you have.
at least I have. Okay. Since he said it, I'll just roll with that. At least I have had a lot going on. I have another kid on the way and have, just a lot of stuff, required me to step away from this and just decompress a little bit, because I feel like it's really depressing to stay totally in touch with the news. And I'm sure all of you are, you know, familiar with that feeling of just like complete despair. It's like, when do we ever catch a break? So, you know, with all that being said, you know, here we are. I don't think Christian is taking a break at all. I think if anything, he knows like 1,000 times more than before. So I'm just going to kind of let you, dude, you know, lead the way and talk about everything that's been going on over the past few months. And I'm going to kind of, I'm going to be here to learn. I mean, it's not that I know nothing. It's just that, I don't know as much as I probably should. And we haven't done an episode since, I want to say, sometime in September. Right. So, that's 3 months of material. So much has happened, and really, honestly, so little has happened, because from what I've seen, it just appears to be more of the same shit. I mean, they're still arguing over the same infrastructure, you know, shit or whatever. I mean, but anyway, I'm not going to run my mouth talking about shit I don't know anything about. Just please enlighten us all, dude. I'm ready to learn. Edumacate me.
Yeah, well, I'm not probably the one for that, but I, you know, we kind of are just rolling with this here. Like, I didn't even know that I was going to lead this episode till like 5 seconds ago, and so I did not prepare some long list of the past 3 months. So I was more just thinking we should talk about the past few days, because in many ways, the past few days is a culmination of the whole year and the past few months. So, so about the infrastructure package, Joe Manchin came out, I think, yesterday or the day before and said that he's not going to be voting for that. So that kills the bill. The White House is acting outraged.
And this is which bill?
I think they really are.
Because there was an infrastructure bill that, and then there was
The infrastructure passed. So okay. The infrastructure that is what the corporations wanted, you know, they were cool with that one, that they separated from the Build Back Better.
And that was $1 trillion or the $1.5 trillion. How much was that?
I want to say it was about $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Okay. But it passed. Infrastructure did. The Build Back Better bill, which was just really, they like whittled it down to like nothing. They cut out everything that was good. They made everything was like means tested and horrible and all that, but it still had a tiny bit, you know, it still had money for climate. It still had this, it still had that. Joe Manchin said he's not going to vote for that, you know, and I'm sure as you remember from a few months ago, him and Kyrsten Sinema were taking turns finding ways to be good cop, bad cop, or bad cop, bad cop, really coming up with their different reasons. Like Joe Manchin's like, I want to make sure that it's paid for. And then Kyrsten Sinema's like, I refuse to raise any taxes. So they would kind of like, it seems, maybe collaborate on saying opposite things to kind of never make it happen. And so Joe Biden and the White House are acting like they're pissed. They said like he promised us he would. And I think they really are pissed just because the press release they said was pretty like, you know, it basically said, you know, the people of West Virginia, you have to explain to them why you're not investing in them, and called him out for like the child tax credit and expanding that and saying like this, like you're going to have to explain to the people of West Virginia why you're not in favor of lifting kids out of poverty, because we can't. So like, I think they genuinely did expect after they whittled it down that he would pass it. But at the same time, maybe they did, I don't know. I mean, they're idiots. At the same time, it's like, this is what we said would happen. And I just have to say that I tried to give credit where credit's due, and I gave credit to Pramila Jayapal for holding the line and for bringing more people into the progressive caucus, you know, voting bloc, and doing what she can to actually make progressive power like a real thing. But she was the first to fold and to say, sure, we're going to vote to pass infrastructure before we vote to pass this other thing. That was the whole point, was they were holding the line. They're like, you're not going to get your infrastructure bill that the corporations want unless we get the Build Back Better Act. And she and other progressive leaders like, well, it's time. We've waited too long. We have to move this along, and we'll just trust that Joe Manchin will support it later. And so to me, she's a traitor. Like, you're either really dumb, which I don't believe she is. She's been gunning, I think, for a while to be Speaker of the House, and I think that's kind of where she has her eyes set on. I don't think she's a dumb person. But you're either dumb for believing that Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema would vote on this and that they'd still vote on it if you didn't hold what they wanted hostage, which is infrastructure, or you're just a traitor. And like, I see the, you know, pictures that she posts of herself or her Instagram. It's very interesting strategy I've really never seen before, which the person who runs her Instagram posts press of her constantly. Like, I guess it doesn't sound weird, but it's like, it'll be a picture of like a, like, piece of an article or a cover of a magazine or whatever of her making herself look badass. And like, you know, she spoke too soon. Like, she was posting pictures of herself being like, she's holding the line. She's going to make sure that we don't vote for this until we get what we want. And like, here it is a few months later, and she's the first to turn heel and just be like, actually, never mind. So, and then she's acting like that didn't happen. Kind of like Elizabeth Warren. I was just like, are you going to play dumb? Like, she's acting as if we got something out of this, or, you know, and it's just, I mean, not well, now.
That seems to be the typical way that the Democrats always behave, and it's why, you know, everything remains the same. But I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, or anyone whoever happens to listen to this episode anything they don't already know. And that's, I mean, 3 months ago, that's kind of where I think everything left off with all of this, with the infrastructure bill and everything still in the air. Maybe the infrastructure bill passed right before we did the last episode. I don't know. I think it was sometime right around there, but all of this stuff has been in limbo forever. And you're saying that the other bill failed, the one that was like 3.5 $3.5 trillion or something, the reconciliation.
They brought it down to 1.75. So they whittled it away
and cut it in less than half, and then it, or in half, and then it still failed because it was too liberal.
And the 3.5 was already basically half. I mean, hey, if you're talking about what people are promising back in the primaries, you're talking about a quarter or less of what it was supposed to be. So, you know, even Joe Biden. So, yeah, it's truly pathetic. And it's amazing. If you go back and you look at the primaries, how Joe Biden really has lied through his teeth about everything he'd accomplish. And, you know, not saying that it's better to have a Republican, not that I have to tell you that, but, you know, I'm not saying sure. that there are little things that are better. If you are a union trying to file right now for an election at the NLRB, it's better to have Biden as your president than Donald Trump, for fucking sure. So there are things that change people's lives, even on like little bureaucratic details the press doesn't pay attention to. But I feel like he really lied about everything. You can look at every promise he made and it's like just lying through his teeth. And then he wasted the whole year talking about we're going to build back better and building it up for the whole year. I mean, his first year of his presidency. And then that right before Christmas, his present to us is like, oh, the thing we all knew would happen happened, like, ta-da, like the Democrats. And I got online, you'll appreciate this, and somebody who's running for something, I think lieutenant governor in Pennsylvania, someone, they had posted basically saying, I'm trying to make sure I have the facts right. They had posted basically saying, like, we need to elect more Democrats. Like, we need a Democratic senator in Pennsylvania, because if you just have one or two more, Joe Manchin doesn't have this power. And yes, if you're counting numbers, that's true. But if you're actually talking to us like that after we handed y'all this historic victory in fucking Georgia, like, it never happens. Like, Georgia flips blue because they hate fucking Donald Trump and his cast of characters so much. And we give y'all power and, like, they're still saying, like, well, just a little bit more power. And we all know that they're going to get slaughtered in the midterms and all that. So it's like, so I commented saying, really, like, y'all are on here because people were agreeing with this and liking it, and sharing it. And I was like, really, y'all just believe anything? Like, Joe Manchin's a Democrat. If you're arguing to give Democrats more power, this is how they behave. He's mm-hmm. still a Democrat. And
100%.
One woman commented on there and said, oh, are you someone? Oh, I said, I can't believe y'all would believe these people. And she said, oh, are you someone who believes DT? And I was like, wow, this is really where we're at. Is like, if I just say the basic, most basic criticism of the Democrats, that like, clearly they're not doing much with their power, I must be a Donald Trumper. Like, these people can't even imagine that, you know, you might be independent and not look at a bowl of shit, as Nina Turner put it, and close your eyes and pretend it's something else, you know?
Which is a great way to put it. I just don't believe that argument at all, and I know you don't either.
Well, it's turning out to not be true, dude. He won. Their argument was anything but Trump, and trust me, he'll be the most progressive. That was the argument, was even being the shittier candidate, he'll be the most progressive in history. Like, so well, he won, and they won in Georgia.
You know, they... I don't know. I mean, this is all a big opportunity that they saw to... They can see in the very near future the fact that all of us want single-payer health care. None of us want to get screwed over at the doctor's office and the hospital and at the pharmacy and everywhere else that we ever have to go just to remain alive and well. You know, they see that this entire generation understands that most of the anti single payer healthcare material out there is probably, you know, propaganda or something like that. I think most people just kind of know that instinctively that they're being lied to, so that people can continue to make money off of them. Because every time, you know, I go to the doctor, I get bill after bill after bill later from all these different companies wanting another $20 for me and another $100 for me, and it's like, shit, I already paid the doctor, you know, what is all this, you know? And it's, I mean, and that's just like simple trips to the doctor. There are people who've lost everything that they own because they found out that they have cancer or something like that, you know, where
we're gonna punish you for getting sick in the richest country on earth.
It's something that resonates with a lot of people who may be conservative in almost every other or in every single other facet of their life. They know that for-profit healthcare is just not a good thing. So what they saw in someone like Joe Biden is an opportunity to kind of, and they're going to keep shooting for more and more of these opportunities. You know, they want a long, they want as long as they can to, you know,
delay
everything so that they can reinvest their money into other things. They can say, okay, well, if this is the direction we're going to go in, how can we make the most money possible off of this? You know, and
they're going to make Medicare a stock funded thing. Like, Medicare is going to be on the fucking
way. They would find NASDAQ. A way, would they not? And I mean, in a way, they've already kind of found a way with all this COVID shit. I mean, the way that all of it's kind of being federally funded, right? I mean, federally funded tests and federally funded vaccinations and federally funded all this. We don't really, it's not an option, you know, that for us to pay taxes. We kind of have to pay the taxes. So they're finding a way to say, okay, well, if it's going to be universal, you're going to come collect this from us, you know, if you want to go to work, if you want to be able to do this, you know, if any, I think what was the mandate that was through OSHA recently, if it, any place with 100 or more employees has to, you know, either be tested weekly or have proof of vaccination. And then they actually, I was one of the, you know, many people who had to prove that I got the shot. And a lot of people said, no, I'm not getting the shot. And now they have to prove that they're being tested weekly. You know, that sort of stuff is, I don't know. I mean, this is all just speculation here, but I feel like it's sort of a good way to say, okay, well, if you want all this stuff to be government run, we've got a way to do that. You know, you can get these booster shots from us on a regular basis, kind of like a flu shot, if you want to even be able to go to work at all. And how is that going to be paid for? Through tax dollars. You can't avoid paying taxes. So now, bam, you know, we're getting our money regardless. And now all these people just have to find a way to divest, you know, remove their money from, you know, private stuff over to this, you know, government funded shit. I mean, I don't know. All I know is that everyone realizes that this sort of shit is, people don't want for-profit healthcare. That's something that nobody wants anymore. So they want to push someone like Joe Biden forward in order to prevent that swap over to single payer healthcare for as long as they possibly can. And it's not just healthcare. I mean, I think that is the biggest thing, but it's not just that, you know, it's people on both sides agree that, you know, none of us want our tax dollars funneling $1 trillion into the military, hundreds of billions of dollars of that into slush funds, or we have no idea where that's going, you know, and we're hearing that we're responsible for destabilizing other countries and killing people and, you know, just rape and murder and all kinds of crazy shit. You know, no one wants their money to go to that. Like, no sane person wants that. So they have to kind of just distract us. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. Anybody who ever stumbles across this show would know this already. I mean, this is nothing new.
I think what is,
they're going to continue to push people. What do you say?
I'm so sorry, dude. No, I just started talking over you. I thought you stopped for some reason.
No, yeah.
What is new is the mass mobilization, you know, mass uprisings last year, the biggest in human history, you know, random, so many that you can't ignore it, like worker uprisings, people walking out on the job, some people just shutting the store and locking it, saying we quit and leaving, other people staying on unemployment forever and dragging those numbers down on purpose. Some people, or lots of unionizing. That's another thing that recently happened. The first Starbucks store in America unionized recently, which is a huge fucking deal. Awesome. They had all their corporate power trying to shut that down. So what is new is that sort of reaction that they're not used to. But I definitely agree that not only are these people old as hell, you know, so it's literally like we're holding on to power. But, you know, yeah, the power structure does put forward these horrible candidates like Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and, you know, this effort. And the power structure is cool with Donald Trump because he can shake shit up to where everyone's like, we don't want him. And so either way, power wins. Donald Trump's not ending the military industrial complex, and he's not, you know, like it's. Yeah.
Has there been any word since our last episode about whether or not he's going to run in 2024 yet? I mean, has he come forward and said anything else? I know he's done an interview with Candace Owens that's about to come out in the near future. She kind of keeps hinting that in some way he's going to be involved in 2024 and post in the past. So I wonder, have you heard anything? Is there anything that has come out recently about that?
I know he hasn't. He has not made it official or anything like that, but I know that he did recently start a social media company called Truth, I think it's called, or something like that. And he also, I think, is trying to reform his image, honestly. I think that him, you know, it's so funny, the thing about the idiot like liberal Democratic Party is that they push for him to get pushed off Twitter and stuff. And they're like, yes, once we get rid of him, like he lies and he's spreading, you know, like all this, he wants to overturn the government or whatever and create fascism. The truth is that now that he's been gone, people can look back on him. And I know this because I hate him and I would never in a million years vote for him and I hate him. But even with me, you can look back on him and find him more comical and caricaturish instead of horrifying. Because he's not always there reminding you. So now when he speaks, he can reinvent himself and you won't believe it. Donald Trump, who pretended COVID wasn't a big deal and all the horrible shit that he did, is now on this. He did a performance with Bill O'Reilly, or I say performance, an interview or whatever you want to call it.
That is what that. I call it. That was yeah, and, accidentally told the truth. What is that? What is it called when you do that?
Freudian. A Freudian slip.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he sat down and he's like, you know, telling people that he got his booster shot, that they should get vaccinated. He's like, we need to change the narrative. Like, that was me that invented this vaccine, basically, like my administration. Don't let them take that from us. Like, we're the ones who are saving millions of lives. And then when he said he got the booster shot, people started booing. And he was even like, no, that's just a few people in the corner. Like, he's fully leaning into, you should get vaccinated. I'm the one who did that, which, to be fair, I mean, it would have happened under any president, but he was the president when Operation Warp Speed happened and they created vaccines pretty fucking fast, if you ask me. So, like, you know, he is already reconstituting his image to appear more moderate. Now, that's just one interview. I didn't even see the whole thing. I only saw like a 2-minute clip or 1-minute clip or whatever. So, who knows? I mean, he can't go more than 5 minutes without sounding crazy. So, and he's only getting older, not younger. But, you know, I'm just saying that there might be a reason he's trying to appear more rational and moderate right now, is all I'm saying. You
know? I don't think it's hard to look good against Joe Biden again. I mean, it's like you, it's almost like the world wasn't totally sure. And that's why, you know, I think 81 million people voted for Joe Biden versus 76 million for Trump, or 74 million or something. What was it? What's the number? Is it something like that? Those sound about right, though, I think. But anyway, I mean, that's still a really thin line, honestly. I mean, that's a lot of people on both sides. OK, yes, sure. More people went out, turned out for Joe Biden, supposedly. You know, that's a huge argument in and of itself for the past couple of years now, or the past year straight. It feels like we've never stopped hearing about it. But
what about the election?
Yeah, just about the election itself. I mean, people are still arguing about it. It's like, fuck,
they maybe still think it was fake.
Maybe it's a banana republic and we're all just fucking stupid as hell. You know,
but there's so many problems with our elections and it's such a rigged system. But to be so unable to see the forest for the trees that you're like, that's how it's rigged. The one way it's not. You know what I mean? It's rigged in a million different ways, but them actually stealing the election is not one of them. And like, it's just crazy. You know, they never questioned it before.
I don't know or care, you know. I mean, I do care, but I don't know. I don't think anyone.
I love that these people suddenly are just like, we're election experts now. Like, we're not going to actually go volunteer and be election judges in our local elections, just give a day of our time to like count votes that we know how it works. We're not going to do that. We're just going to believe that every other election was real except for this one. But if you won, it would have been real. And it's just like, they don't care that with the Electoral College, you can lose by millions of votes and still be president. Like, that doesn't bother him. That's fine, as long as it's a Republican. I mean, it's just like,
I do think that it's time to heavily update or just completely abolish the Electoral College. I mean, I think that's something that you and me 1,000,000,000,000% agree with. But, you know, all I'm saying is a lot of people were like, probably had a tough time deciding and then just ended up going for Joe Biden. You know, like there was a lot of people that were like, man, I really just don't know. Fuck it. I guess we'll go with Joe Biden. We already know what Trump's like. And now they're like even more pissed off because even if gasoline isn't the only most important topic in the world, it is really annoying when you go to the gas station, you pay twice as much as for gas as you did 2 weeks ago. And now, you know, you have to set aside double the money for gas as normal. You know, things like that are actually annoying. And whether or not it is the fault of one president, which I would say it's not, you would probably say it's, most people would say, who pay attention to this stuff would say it's not all Joe Biden's fault that gas is higher. You know, it's all not all, you know, whatever. But the fact is that whether or not that's a fact, most people are going to perceive it that way anyway. And they're going to say, okay, well, I already barely decided to go for Joe Biden. Oh, wow. Trump actually seems to have learned his lesson. You know what I mean? Well, let's give him a try.
Maybe he can just like they just won't vote. And so when you still have Trump supporters voting, but all the young people hate you now.
Yeah, all the Biden, all the people who voted for Joe Biden because vote blue no matter who. And, you know, we're going to get those $2,000 checks. And they sent us a check for $1,400. Where the fuck is my $2,000 check at? You know, I still haven't gotten one. And, you know, people are going to be annoyed by these simple things. Like, is that check the most important thing in the world? Is $600 the most important thing in the world? Of course not. You know, whoopty fucking do it. $600. I mean, I would like to have an extra $600. Sure. But it's not, it doesn't destroy my reality because I don't get $600. But the principle is the you know, it's the principle that, you know, of
they disrespect us.
Yeah, it's the simplest thing. Like, it's a difference of $600, and you can't even do that simple thing after you, you know, hinge an entire election on it. Like, vote for us and we'll give you $2,000. That's your promise. And then you send out $1,400 checks and you're like, well, you already got $600, and you ignore the fact that that was sent under the Trump administration. I mean, that's like the, you shouldn't be taking credit for anything they did, right? I mean, aren't they supposed to be like the antithesis of all things that are good? Why would you ever want to take credit for that? So, or claim that that was your doing. And it's just embarrassing for them too, the fact that even to get the that $600, or excuse me, even to get that the other $600, you know, Bernie Sanders and other people, like, I think Bernie Sanders blew up a tweet of Donald Trump, and it's like $2,000 checks now, and he's like, it was my tweet from, you know, Donald Trump, $2,000 checks now. You know what I mean? It's just like, it says now, okay? You know, 2,000 now, you know? And, you know, you're just looking at it like, that was a horrible Bernie Sanders impression, but I mean, you're just looking at it and thinking, wow. I mean, even these people that the mainstream, you know, news outlets call, you know, this like far left, like extreme left, are over here like, look, even I agree with Donald Trump on this $2,000 check thing. And then these like super liberal, like Democrats can't agree on such a simple thing. And even after it's what the reason why they won. I mean, it just doesn't look good for them. I don't know why the fuck anyone would vote Democrat again. After this, and yet we both know people will, but I do
not as many.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely I don't think they're going to do well in the midterms. They're going to have to either have to have a totally different candidate from anyone the mainstream media is pushing right now, if they have even a chance to win. But you know what, dude, they don't like good candidates. So Bernie was the type of guy who could have changed history as far as like had massive motherfucking turnout, and they didn't want that. They didn't want massive motherfucking turnout. They didn't want a total mandate and all that, because they don't want real change. So they're cool with someone like Obama, who looks the part and says the right things because they know he's funded by Wall Street, but they're not cool with the Bernie Sanders. So I'm like, even honestly, dude, even if Elizabeth Warren is like, well, I'm younger than all these people, I'm throwing my hat in the ring, I could definitely beat Pete, I could definitely beat Kamala, won't be competing with Bernie this time, they would turn on her, because even though she's been friendly to the Democratic Party and she's tried to play their, you know, she endorsed John Hickenlooper here. Yeah. She tried to take down Bernie. Even with all that she's done for the Democratic Party, they never quit taking. It's never enough. They never say, okay, you sold out a little bit, now you can pass what you want. So like if they did have someone like her who could actually beat Trump, I think, like, just think about that debate, you know, versus Joe Biden, like, they wouldn't want her, you know? So it's like, I don't know if they want to win, but at the same time, they didn't want Donald Trump in the Republican Party either, and he beat them. So you can do it, but it's, you know, it's just sad, man. It's and Kamala Harris is making herself more hated than ever. Should we move on to the next?
The Charlamagne clip, is that what you're talking about? Where she's like, it's Joe Biden. It's Joe Biden. You know what I mean? Like acting all sassy Kamala and Harris shit.
As if it's a kindergarten class.
Yeah, like, it's just like,
that's Joe Biden and I'm Kamala
Harris. She's so just childish. She's so unlikable that it's, it's awful. You know, like you might be laying down thinking about, you know, trying to think about nothing so you can fall asleep. God forbid you have an image of her pop up in your mind. You can, you're going to be up for the night, you know, thinking about.
And what's funny is that, like, they try to make it sound like, you know, criticism of her. It's like, oh, you're sexist or racist. Because that's what they said about Hillary Clinton.
That's definitely like, the talking point, you know, that they go with.
They're like, they call, they were like, they call, everyone calls her unlikable, but that's just a sexist term. That's just a sexist term. And if you're not paying attention to politics, like I wasn't much at the time, you could believe that because it's like, she's just a lady with blonde hair. I don't think she's that unlikable. But when you actually watch an interview or see, catch somebody in a lie and they're just like caught on camera trying to lie through their teeth, it makes them fundamentally unlikable. And like the thing about Hillary Clinton is she talks in very technocratic terms on everything and could actually have a conversation as an intellectual and make herself likable. Kamala Harris is only looks good in pictures. If you get her in an interview setting, she is going to fall apart and disintegrate and not know what to do. And that's why she was about to win The View a couple of months.
Yeah, she just does that cackle thing because she doesn't know what else to do. It's like her defense mechanism when she feels cornered or like insecure, I think. She just kind of laughs nervously, but it's like it sounds evil, you know, when she does it.
She's going on The View, which is one place that actually has conservatives that might actually like ask her tough questions. And right before she goes on, they do this whole thing where they're clearly acting and they're like, hold on, there's been an emergency. And they're like, oh, someone tested positive for COVID. You know, the vice president just can't come on the set. Like she's there, she's ready to do the interview. She leaves, like just doesn't do the interview. So a couple of weeks later, they come out and they're like, actually the test was wrong. And this was just a big mistake. And none of us had COVID, which is not believable. And then they fired the nurse. Okay, I'm stealing my material right now from Breaking Points because those are the people who showed this specific, as I'm wearing the shirt. I'm just going to repeat them until they sue me. But they're showing the specific like timeline. So they fired the nurse who works for the show. Okay, and it's like, wow, like, damn, you know, y'all just trying to pin the blame on her. Well, come to find out a few months earlier, a year earlier or whatever, when everyone was like, we love nurses, like we love healthcare workers, frontline workers, you know, even though they don't want to pay them more. They were like, they did a whole thing on the show where they all sent a personal message to this nurse, Nurse Wendy. And they're just like, we, you know, she means so much to us. She keeps us safe. She's our guardian angel. She's our own whatever. And then at the end, it's her being like, thank you. You know, it's just weird. And they fired this bitch that they were just all, they loved her like a week ago, but just to throw her under the bus for being, their fuck up, you know? So, yeah.
I think it's sad, but she needed an excuse. And I think that was probably just like, I mean, how hard would it be to manufacture an excuse like that? You know, I don't know, man. It could really just be an honest mistake and then them actually just being that immature and short-sighted and firing somebody, whatever. But
well, the point is that Kamala Harris avoided that interview. And then when she's set to give another interview, her fucking, I'm sorry, I'm cussing and just all left
fuck
and right.
Shit,
I'm
ruining damn. Our future. Hey, careers. Look, if any of y'all who are listening right now and haven't subscribed, feel it in your heart to help us in some way, please do so just by simply clicking the subscribe button and then click the little bell and then click all so you get notified when a new video comes out. Because based on what everyone annoyingly repeats in every other video on YouTube, I'm supposed to say that. So that's why I've added that to the show, is just, you know, to copy off of everybody else. That's also why he's wearing the Breaking Point shirt. And, you know, that's like, again, that's the whole point of this. And now we're going to play some Toby Mac and take a short break and eat some graham crackers and drink apple juice. Talk about Jesus.
We should play right the clip of Kamala Harris pretending that she can't hear Charlamagne the God for a brief moment. So, have you seen this clip?
We're back. No, I'm just kidding. Wait, the clip of what? Have I seen what?
Charlemagne the God and Kamala Harris.
Yes, I have seen the clip. I've seen different cuts of it, and then I've seen like the full piece. Because some of the clips of it made it sound like she was saying something slightly different than what she was actually saying. But basically the vibe that I got was she was trying to act like slick gangster as fuck to Charlemagne the God and be like, no, you know, oh, no, you didn't type shit. And just like really rude, disrespectful to him, because he was asking her, is, you know, who's really president, because Joe Manchin's blocking all this shit. And now it seems like every single thing in the world revolves around whether or not Joe Manchin says it's okay. You know, so he's like challenging, you know, whether or not they actually have any authority and power like they promised the whole world that they would have if they voted Democrat, you know. Yeah. Which is the most legitimate question ever. And I think it's important for us all to remember that Charlemagne the God is more of like a typical like liberal person who, you know, I think he's more likable than a lot of people. But at the same time, he's still also like very corporate, you know, like very much he's going to vote mostly Democrat. You know, he's going to most likely go. And maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, please tell me I'm wrong right now. But that's the impression that I get of him. And you know, usually that's the way you kind of have to be to even be allowed to have the president or the vice president speak on your show. You pretty much have to be like a corporate liberal ass person, you know? So for him to be asking that question, for him to be challenging like the most stereotypical, like Democrat person you could possibly think of, like a woman who's not white, and who has a record of voting like super Democrat and being like a tough on crime Democrat, and like this kind of person, this super unlikable person, for this super liberal famous podcast host to be asking you a question like that. I mean, it really has gotten to a point in the world today where everyone is looking at Joe Biden and Kamala Harris like, dude, what in the fuck are you doing? Like, you were accomplishing nothing. You just promised everybody all this stuff if they would just get rid of Trump, and now they gave it to you, and what are you doing? You know, now it's Joe Manchin who's responsible for all of your failures. And, you know, wait, and we'll see what happens in 2022. I guess we'll have to put it off then and see if maybe we can get something done after that. And so I don't know. I mean, did I watch the full episode? If that was your question, no, I did not. I would never force myself to suffer through an entire episode of The Breakfast Club. But I have seen that clip. Yes, I have seen that clip in full context. Yeah.
Okay. So the point of me bringing up the View thing was she avoids that interview.
Right.
You saw how she tried to pretend her aide stepped in and tried to pretend.
Oh, yeah. And then she said, "Oh, yeah. I can hear you."
Yeah, yeah, but she like waited. She's like, "What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to?" She wasn't even prepared for aide to do that. She's just like, "Do I pretend I don't hear him?" And it's just like, you can't make it through one interview. Like, you were a disaster. You were not a good politician who made a mistake here or there. You were just a disaster. No one would want you to work as an intern in their PR office. Like, you're horrible. And like, it's just avoiding the press. And then it really says a lot, because you wonder, are these people just out of touch? And it's like, no, they don't respect us. The way that she talked, like you said, was I am the vice president and that is the president, as if this is a kingdom, you know, like she's gonna chop his head off for, like, okay, you're a public servant, treat your boss with some respect. Charlemagne the God is a citizen. He's not a fellow politician. He voted for you, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So treat him with some respect when he asks you a question about your job performance. Like, that's crazy, you know? But
well, it's just like the way Joe Biden is whenever somebody corners him. He's like, well, then don't vote for me then. You know,
that's the same person. Yeah. He said, "You ain't black," when Charlemagne asked him a question.
Yeah, literally.
Then the exact she same says, guy. "You're Republican." Then he's asking Elizabeth Warren, calling her Rachel Dolezal. And then she also was on his show on The Breakfast Club, Kamala Harris, when she lied and said, like, "Yeah, I used to smoke weed. Like, I'm cool." Yeah. And I was listening to Tupac and they did the math later. And like the timeline didn't match up for Tupac.
They hadn't even put out a fucking album yet. You know, she's like, "I'm listening to Snoop." And yeah, I mean, it's just crazy.
And her father disavowed her. He came out and was like, "She is using our culture as a identity politics thing. I'm not cool with it." The like, Jamaican fuck thing? Her.
Or whatever.
You say what?
Her dad's Jamaican or something, right? Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
And he's also like, I think much more to the left than her and like is not proud.
It's sad. I mean, it's sad. I mean, she's just not likable. I mean, this is somebody who's actually kept people. And hey, if you want to hear me and him roast Candace Owens when, and you know, in your free time there, I think the episode was Kamala Harris is just Candace Owens for Democrats was the episode where we're just roasting Kamala Harris for like 45 minutes straight and talking about this stuff. But I mean, she kept people locked up, refused to let them out because there was like a fear of shortage of prison labor or something. Kept people incarcerated, even though there was like overwhelming evidence that they were innocent, you know. Just insane just being against behavior.
Marijuana legalization in the state of California.
Yeah. Running against a Republican who was trying to legalize it recreationally or medicinally or something, and she had like the hardline anti-marijuana stance. It's just absurd to act like her or Joe Biden were ever anything other than basically like a mainstream Republican who has like a couple like even shittier policies than Republicans on things that are, you know, technically liberal. I don't know, man. It's crazy.
I hope that neither of them runs next time.
They would the Democratic establishment is not foolish enough to actually think that Kamala Harris could win.
But they gave us Joe Biden, dude. They almost lost to Donald Trump because of that. They would spin it as like he's the only one that could win. See, and I would spin it as like he almost lost in a way that he should not have. And Bernie Sanders would not have come as close to losing. And like, so they don't care about winning as much as pleasing their corporate donors. Like, that's what's scary is like, you know,
I think the person you really need to be looking at is Ron DeSantis. I mean, that guy is so polished compared to Donald Trump. And just better overall at handling the press, shutting people down. He's just not as foolish, at least yet. I mean, he may end up being 10 times as foolish for all I know, but as of right now, he doesn't seem nearly as foolish as Donald Trump, but he still, you know, has this overall the same policy preferences, if not more, I would say, conservative policies overall. And all he really needs is somebody who is good with crowds to run with him or to endorse him in some way and campaign with him, which is obviously Donald Trump. If they could get Donald Trump to be humble enough to, you know, not be the person to run himself, which is, I think that to me is what makes it a long shot in my mind, is just, I think that Donald Trump is so narcissistic that they would have to make him feel like there would have to be some sort of agreement that he is publicly known as the vice president or, well, yeah, no, that's true.
He wouldn't take that.
I don't think he would take that role. Yeah. I don't think he would either, but, something big like that, or, simply the acknowledgement later on that, you know,
Secretary of State,
only he could have possibly won if it's thanks to Trump, you know. He's got to say that in some way. He's got to stroke his ego in this really big way for it to be possible. That's just my impression of Donald Trump, honestly. And I mean, I've never met the guy, but I mean, fuck, the dude has named everything after himself, after his last name. I mean, that's, you know, Trump vodka, Trump steak, Trump bottled water, Trump hotels, Trump golf courses, Trump, I mean,
yeah.
Good God. So yeah, I do think that anyway.
He's self-obsessed, and it's not up for, like, no one's arguing about that.
So I think, I think that would be hard to get him to endorse somebody like that, to like not be the one to win. Like after he loses, then almost step down in a way even further and be like, I think this person's more fit than me to take the spot. I think that's the real challenge, but the Republican Party, if they tried hard enough and if they kissed enough ass, they could get him to endorse Ron DeSantis. I couldn't see a single Democrat winning against him at this point. I don't think anyone trusts the Democratic Party enough to do anything now. I think all progressives have lost their
credibility.
Yeah. 100% completely lost their credibility now with everybody. So
with everything too.
Yeah.
Like AOC flipping on Israel votes and every little thing. Like yeah. It's truly crazy.
In every way. So
do you think that Republicans like feel, I mean, I know they don't. Me and you grew up in Memphis and it's like we grew up with people and yeah, you just learn to accept growing up that some people are way more conservative than you in a way that's a turnoff, especially when you grew up with conservative fathers, I think like we did. And
yeah,
you know, you just learn to accept these people and they're members of your family and community and school and all that shit. But looking at it now, I'm like, I wish that I believed that there were just as many Republicans that are concerned about the direction of their party and feel out of control the same way that we feel like we could elect a Democrat that we like, but like y'all going to make sure it's Joe Biden instead of, because I was participating in the primaries and stuff. I'm just like, I don't know. Do you think there's why are we only looking at the Democratic primary as the only place a good person can come from? We're just like the Republicans aren't even good.
I don't think that's an appropriate way to look at it, honestly, because I see a lot of qualities and, you know, I don't want to say the word libertarian because I don't want to give anybody the impression that this is like a libertarian podcast. As a matter of fact, for everybody listening right now, and I feel like I need to repeat this a lot more from now on, I just kind of want to disavow any sort of label that someone else has given me or that I've given myself, because I don't feel like progressive is fair or any of that stuff now that the progressives, the, you know, all these members of the Progressive Caucus have completely shit on us and lied to us for all this time. I don't feel comfortable with any of it. You know, I am an independent person. You know, I don't care about the party that someone's affiliated with. I care about what their track record looks like or what I feel like they're capable of doing. Maybe they have no track record, but they're saying a lot of good things. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the case may be, but I'm certainly not judging it based on a party ever. And so
well, I'm not either. I'm just saying that there's no chance.
I think that's a good question. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say.
Because we know that there's no one in the Republican Party. If someone does, if Trump gives up or not gives up, if Trump's just like, I'm not running, or decides to anoint someone else, like no one that comes from there is going to be moderate or an answer to the Democrats. Like I wish that someone would come out that's like, yeah, like don't agree with me on everything, but this, you can agree with me on. But it's like, no, it's like there's a huge villain over there, no matter who it is. It's going to be the worst ever, the party of George W. Bush and Donald Trump and Mitt Romney. So over here, it's like, please let us pick a good candidate. But it's like, it's sad because the Republicans hate the Democrats for legit reasons a lot of the time, but they should be able to work to produce, like, the person that the Republicans got most excited about was Donald Trump. That was their Bernie. It was like the right wing was like, yes, he's going to bring back jobs. The casino owner, he's going to be for us. It's like, yeah, like every other casino owner and reality TV star.
Well, they liked him because of the fact that a lot of his ideology appears to be libertarian. On the surface, yeah. Based on the way he talks. And that's really what I'm getting at. I mean, I mean, this is just a personal opinion. Not everyone is going to agree with me on it, but I think that good candidates could potentially show up in the Republican Party. I haven't seen that really happen, but I mean, look, Ron Paul was a piece of shit too. If we're being honest, Ron Paul voted for the AUMF in Afghanistan, just like everybody else. I mean, he voted for all of these sort of, he voted for all these different things that he shouldn't have. And, you know, later he was like, hey, I regret that I did it and voted against every other one of them. I think he voted against the one against the war in Iraq and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is even he failed initially upholding those quote unquote libertarian values that he claims to hold so dear. And he has a record mostly of following what he claims to have followed. But people like Bernie Sanders are the same way. You know, Bernie Sanders has overall a good track record, but even he has voted for war before, you know, like even he has like a, you know, some patchy, you know, spots in there. So I think, you know, and Bernie Sanders is completely, or at least appears to have completely sold out at this point. Maybe later on we find out that that's not exactly accurate, but all I'm really getting at here is just simply that people like this, people like Ron Paul or people like Bernie Sanders, you know, Bernie Sanders is a Democrat, but he's not really a Democrat. I mean, he's certainly morphed into what is now a Democrat, just like Ron Paul kind of morphed into, he kind of went in and out of being a Republican. So I don't really know how to explain that. But what I'm saying is that some libertarian could eventually run as a Republican and have a lot of values that you and I would appreciate, even if they have like a million more values that we don't appreciate. But maybe their main focus is like a couple of things that we totally agree with, enough that maybe some of us at some point would feel willing to roll the dice and be like, well, I don't think they seem very passionate about the stuff that I completely disagree with them on anyway. So I don't think that that's ever going to really happen. So it's kind of like me feel, you know, the way I feel about Bernie Sanders with guns. You know, I don't agree with him on his gun policy, but I think that he pretty much just said that just to please Democrats in the middle of the debate, in the middle of a primary. So he's just like, fuck it, I'll tell this lie, you know, because he's from a hunting state, you know, a rural ass state where people have guns and people are totally cool with guns, you know. So or for the most part, from my understanding at least. So I don't think that that would be like a staple issue. So even though I totally disagree with him on guns, I would have voted for him because I totally agree with him on this other topic or something, healthcare, for example. I think you could do the same thing with a libertarian, you know, like Justin Amash or whatever that guy's name. He could theoretically run as a Republican, get the nomination, and then talk about enough good things that, you know, leftists or independents or whoever agree with, that maybe, you know, people would cross back over the aisle and be like, okay, I'll vote for this person. But the bigger reality is, do we think that anyone would even let that happen again? Now that it's already happened once with Trump and the Republicans kind of failed to unite against one savior, one anti-Trump figure, the same way that the Democrats did with Joe Biden, where they all kind of, you know, fell in line and all backed him up at the same time right before like a really, you know, consequential, you know, time in the primary, you know? Like, the Republicans failed to do that. They splintered the vote enough to where Trump absorbed enough that he won, because they don't, you know, the Republican primaries, they don't, I believe they don't really run on delegates. It's just like winner takes all, right? So they were, you know, Trump was able to just like basically sweep the whole country because the Republicans couldn't all line up against, you know, Jeb Bush or some fucking loser like that. Like,
which I want to learn like more about the primary system because I don't know. I was nodding because I was thinking about it, but I don't know what their primary
system. I believe it's winner takes all. If any left is still here, I'm not totally sure. But if you are still here, can you like give a confirmation in the chat? I actually swapped over to the YouTube page just so I can see if you do actually say that. But I think that they are a winner takes all system. In the Republican primary, and that's basically what happened, is enough people stayed in saying, hey, I think I have a chance, instead of lining up against somebody who was kind of an anti-Trump figure that they felt like had a chance. And that's the reason why Trump was able to walk away with it. I don't think that they are foolish enough to do that again, especially now that the Democrats have kind of shown them what it looks like to stand up against somebody that you don't feel comfortable with leading your party, you know? But who knows? Stranger things have happened. I mean, Trump was just the president, a reality TV show host who makes cameo appearances in, you know, Macaulay Culkin films in the 90s. Yeah. Like that guy who had like a failed vodka business and steak business. And every other business. Did he have any successful businesses? Can we get a confirmation on whether or not he had a successful one?
Can we get a confirmation from our unpaid producer that we're just asking in the chat?
Okay, so Indy Left said they split the delegates among the candidates based on proportion in some states, and others it's winner takes all. So there are some states with, you know, in the Republican primaries where they do winner takes all. I think that is a more common theme by a long shot than the Democrats. Or he said they've been talking about nominating Trump for speaker when the Republicans take the House back in 2023. And I do think it is more of a win for sure, out of the possibility of an if or a when. It's definitely a win. I don't see how the Democrats could possibly rebound from this other than, I don't know, keeping their word sometime in the next year.
Just so, making Bernie president tomorrow. Yeah. Be like, never mind.
Just like make it that them personally assassinating, you know, the person that they just, you know, got the position. Now we're just going to get shut down by the FBI. I'm going to get like,
oh my God,
doxed or whatever it's called. I don't even know. Man,
dude, I have to say, like, I've been thinking a lot about this stuff, and Bernie has been releasing videos that are like him, like being really nice to kids, being like, you know, it's Bernie. He's cute. He's a cute old man. He's like going up and he's like, oh, are you the one who cooks around here or something? And the kid's like, hee-hee. And then he released a campaign poster for when he went to a rally for the Kellogg's workers that are on strike and stuff like that. And I was looking at it and I was just like, is he trying to portray himself as a candidate again? Like, is he actually old as hell, like a couple of years older than Donald Trump? Is he actually thinking about it? And I know that sounds like a long shot, like I'm desperate, but I'm not. It's not that I'm desperate. Like, I don't even know if that's a good idea or not. You know, I'm just saying that, like, I just was wondering. The same way that I look at Trump and he's portraying himself as more moderate in this last interview that is hard to argue with, that he said the vaccine's good. You know, it's like, Bernie is also still making like propaganda posters that make him look like a, you know, yeah, like power of the workers. The
cult of personality around him, you know, to try to give him this little bit of pull that they feel like they might need in 2022 or in 2024 if he lives that long. I mean, guys, you know, we all have to remember that dude is really, really old. I mean, these guys 79. Are very, very old. You know, I was dropping my kid off with my grandfather before work the other day, and you know, he's 80, and you know, I was just like looking at him while he was talking to me, and I'm just thinking, man, this guy has been through it, you know, like this is a very old man, you know, like a very wise man. He has been around, you know. And then I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, our president's like this old. Like, I would never give, I don't even feel comfortable with my grandfather driving a car. I mean, he still does, but I don't feel comfortable with it. Like, sometimes I'm driving and I think to myself, what if my grandfather's driving right now? That's just like, I mean, oh my God. And then I'm like, holy shit, the president's basically that age. And I don't
and feel comfortable. And he acts like it. He doesn't act like a whippersnapper. He's like,
yeah. As a matter of fact, my grandfather has more energy, I know for sure, and is more lucid on a regular basis than the president of the United States of America. Like, there is no question in my mind. And you know what, Joe Biden, if you're listening to this for some reason, if for whatever reason you decided to tune in to Ride the Fence, I just want to tell you, man, it's okay. You're not the only person who falls asleep in the middle of a conversation. You know, I mean, my grandfather does it all the time. Is this computer
saying my name?
My grandfather does it a lot. I mean, people will be talking, will be over there like having dinner or something, and he'll just fall asleep like while, and I'm just like, the president does that. This is normal. You know what I mean? Like,
and he really does. He fell asleep on camera not too long ago.
The president should not be operating heavy machinery. Well, but he probably doesn't, though. See, that those are the perks of being a president. They bring in,
they let him drive. Remember that?
For the commercial. Yeah, I mean,
when it was like a precedent. It was like Ford's new electric car, and he got in behind the wheel, and this woman was like, "Mr. President, can I ask you a question about Palestine?" He said, "If only if you get out in front of the car and let me run you over first," or something like that. And then he's like, "Haha, I'm just kidding." And when he drives off, it's like, vroom, like he just fell asleep and just like put his foot on the gas real fast. Like, it's just like, it made me cringe because I was like, he should be driving like in an open range. Like, oh my God, dude. And also, hi, Indy Left, and thanks for answering questions. I didn't even know. I'm only watching.
He's been here. I keep, you know, the what I'm actually streaming through open as opposed to YouTube. I do need to, some point, figure out how to do both at the same time because, and that's what she said. But I mean, just so that way this is a little bit more productive. But I do appreciate you, Indy Left, for being here and everyone else who has hopped in and out, which I'm sure mostly is thanks to you as well, Indy Left. Again, to everybody who hasn't subscribed to the show, please click that subscribe button. Click the like, click the thumbs up. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please give us 5 stars. There's enough people out there that want to give us 1 star. And That we need you. We need you.
Impressive.
And I've heard, yes, we are. Yeah. I've heard that Spotify does ratings now. Rate us, give us a great rating, you know, tell everybody that we're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And that if you ever need anybody to regurgitate Breaking Points for you, Christian is here with the shirt on and everything ready.
Yeah.
To,
I'm ready to get sued, yes, for just taking what they talk about and putting it here. No, yeah. I really did
eventually,
try to like
pick. I'm just going to pause.
Things happen the
like,
past few days.
I'll just cut him off and then just like crop in Sagar giving a monologue, you know, and be like, and just pretend like I'm having a conversation with him. But
that's just hilarious,
dude. I'm just fucking with you, dude. It's really not that bad, y'all. I'm just trying to give him a hard time while I have the chance. It's been a long time since we've done one of these episodes. I want to say too that I have just during the past few months have had like a total mental collapse to the point that I don't care if I get taken off YouTube. I actually do not care at all, not even a little bit. If I get taken off a platform, I will just go to a different platform. There are other ones now that I can go on. Odyssey, Rumble, there are others. So I definitely don't feel like I'm going to be like keeping myself doing nearly as much self-censorship as I've tried to do in the past, just for the sake of like, fuck y'all. Okay. It's so hard to always worry about what you're going to say, you know, and just like always like, is it acceptable? Is it politically correct? I mean, at some point it's just like, okay, what are we allowed to say? What isn't
not a lot
feeling? Not a whole lot. Days. Fuck y'all. You know, I really, this is more just for the fuck of it, you know, than anything, just being able to talk about everything that's going on and current day events. And if we prevent ourselves from talking about half of it because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or we're scared to get taken off of a platform, I mean, that's just unfortunate, you know? But what I've noticed with Breaking Points a lot, for example, I see them on my Instagram feed sometimes. It's usually Sagar that I've noticed to post about certain videos of theirs getting demonetized and stuff. That gives me a little bit of hope because honestly, I don't care. Like, I would like to make money off this one day. That would be nice if I could make as much money as clearly they're making. Holy shit, they're making a lot of money. That'd be awesome. But you know, I don't really care if we get demonetized because we're not even monetized. So the idea that I should sit around and worry about whether or not they're going to demonetize a video that's not even monetized is just, I mean, who cares, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I've been away.
Just one thinking, fan cares.
Contemplating, you know, I've just been thinking about it, you know, hey, should I, when I go back to doing this, should I continue to, no, I should not continue to care whether or not their terms and conditions say I'm allowed to say something. That's not a good way to talk about anything, to have a show at all. But I enjoyed the break, and I've noticed a few things, maybe a pass that I guess you said that infrastructure bill passed, and you know, it's a shame that the other gigantic bill that the Democrats promised, you know, didn't go through, and then it was cut in half before it still ultimately failed. And it sounds like really nothing has changed. So I guess I don't feel as bad for not staying as up to date on everything as I was thinking I would feel. You know?
Yeah. I mean, the world's still burning and things are horrible. And their Boston Dynamics is building very scary robots. But, you know, honestly, strike movement, labor movement, movement towards employers is, or for the workers against bosses is gaining steam. One last thing I'll leave you with, dude, before we go is like, the Kellogg's strike is still ongoing. Oh, it's in Memphis, by the way. You should go check them out and see if they're like,
didn't they actually take rallies. The name Kellogg's off the box Pop-Tarts. Of Pop-Tarts because they
don't want to be boycotted.
Yeah.
So they're afraid it's working. They are being boycotted. They're seeing it apparently affect their wallet, and the strike's still going. So then they said, we're going to permanently replace these workers. And they started hiring for the four locations. Well, the same person, who made a robot, or what is it called? Yeah, made a bot online that filled out a bunch of reservations for Trump's rally. Remember when a bunch of people did it online. Then he went and he made a bot that actually filled in applications for Kellogg's over and over, and it crashed their system. So the worker solidarity thing's real, you know, like,
which is
John Deere, I think, got a great contract after striking. So like, it's not all bad. You know, I just wonder how long they're going to let us strike before they just come out with guns, just like start shooting people on the picket line. But we'll see. I mean, I don't want to be totally pessimistic. I feel like things are lurching our way pretty fast. Like,
in a way, but also I think we do need to be holding our breath for this massive economic collapse that is probably right around the corner. It's got to happen. I mean, the ridiculously high prices that houses are at right now, it just doesn't make sense. And I think everybody's just waiting for this to just explode and collapse again. And then people lose all their equity in their homes and then basically like be all the way back to square one after 15 years of, you know, paying on a house, have, you know, $0 worth of value in it again. And just all of everything that goes along with that. And
mass evictions are already happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
people are living out in the street. It looks like downtown Sao Paulo in Denver, Colorado. It's not normal times.
It's not. And I mean, I was there with you in May and it wasn't looking good then. And I'm sure it's gotten worse. I mean, maybe it's gotten better, but I would imagine it's gotten worse, not better. And imagine
just colder at night for them now.
Yeah. They're, you know, more people possibly going to end up hospitalized, you know, and then, well, I say hospitalized. That's generous, right? I mean, what if they don't have health care? Well, I guess the hospital would still take them in, and they would just make sure that they have horrible credit for the rest of their life and can never move.
I met a guy who'd been shot who had to have emergency surgery. He was flown in from, I think, Colorado, or maybe it was Pueblo. I'm not sure. He was flown in from somewhere in the state and had been shot. Now, this is what he told me, but I'm assuming he had no reason to lie to me. I mean, he had just gotten out of the hospital. He was still in his, like, hospital, like, clothes or whatever, and clearly I just left the hospital, like, had all this stuff, the wristband and all that, and he was in a wheelchair, had been shot, and the second they realized he didn't have insurance, like, they let him out the next day. And this guy's recovering from being shot, and he's on the streets trying to call people, figuring out if anyone can come pick him up and take him back to the town he's from. It's like, why even fly him in? I mean, that's probably how some people feel. Like, leave me to die rather than leaving me on the streets to die now in a different city. Yeah, well, I mean,
that's like when an ambulance comes to pick you up, and then some people refuse to get in it because they don't want to have to pay the bill of the ambulance ride. You know, it's like thousands of dollars just to be on an ambulance for a short, you know, distance. And they're like, no, I think I can live, you know, so if someone drives me, you know, I'll just take it. Like, the idea that you actually have to make that decision, you know, like, if you're unconscious, then you might just have to file for bankruptcy later if someone makes that decision for you. Like, that thought of that is just so ridiculous.
And then it's real. I used to think, whatever, if I ever had an accident, I'd be way more concerned about the health than I would the money. I would just pay the minimal amount every month. But once you kind of look at what happens to people, like, it could be crushing. Like, you know, I don't know what kind of payment arrangements they have, but student debt and medical debt is, like, not a fucking joke. It's not something that's just like, we'll just ignore it. It's insane, man. It should be criminal.
Yeah. I just want to say, before we go again, if you have not subscribed to the show, please click that subscribe button wherever you're at. Click the 5 stars, click the thumbs up, leave a comment, leave a review. I guess it really just depends on where you're at, what you're able to do, but please help us out. Share this with other people. We're definitely going to be back on a regular basis, or as much as me and him can possibly work out to be on here. I needed the break, but now I've gotten to where I'm bored and I feel like I'm being unproductive. So I definitely want to get back involved in this as much as possible. And also, you know, election year, you know, is right around the corner, another election year. And that just means that we have a lot of shit to talk. Please help us out. And I'm just going to throw this in here too. You know, if anybody's watching this and says, hey, I want to help out monetarily, you know, I spent a lot of money on this studio. I spent thousands of dollars on this equipment, on the studio, so many thousand dollars. You know, getting the logo trademarked, like actually trademarked, owning an LLC, keeping up on it, you know, paying the little small tax just to keep the LLC going every year, the annual report, everything that goes along with that. It costs a lot of money. I have to pay monthly for the website, for the, you know, the hosting, for the podcast hosting, the website hosting, all of that. It costs money. And I could certainly, especially now with another kid on the way, I've already got one kid and all these bills, I could certainly use the help paying for this stuff. So if you ever want to throw a couple bucks my way to help keep these, to keep this show going, to keep this rolling, you can cash at me at Ride the Fence, and the same thing at Venmo at Ride the Fence. So please,
you can cash at me too.
Yeah, you can cash at him too. Yeah. Hey,
I'm kidding.
Throw that out there. If you want to say, I want to keep Christian's lights on instead, plug him with that.
We all know I'm rich. I don't need your money.
He's loaded.
Well, yeah, that's why I have such a shitty camera.
He's like a well.
Actually, this is one of the most expensive things I bought is this gaming laptop, and it has the shittiest fucking camera. Like, what the fuck is this fucking shit? Anyways,
he's got a nice camera too, and a Cam Link. He just hasn't plugged it in yet. And how many years has it been? A year now? Has it been a full year? Okay, yes. So when
I bought it with
year
the laptop.
Hasn't been plugged in yet. But eventually he'll plug it in. But mine is plugged in, and that's why I'm giving you my cash tag, because God knows that I need it, man. I am dying over here. But anyway, please click that subscribe button. Please share this with others, and we will be back maybe later this week or maybe next week. If we don't see you between now and Christmas, have a Merry Christmas.